Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 4 of NFL Insights. Brendan had a little bit of a rough week 3, managed to stay above 500 at 8-7 to bring his season record to 25-20. Sadly, though, because the Cowboys are terrible or just overlooked the Cardinals, he dropped his first lock of the week. So he's down to 2-1 in that department. But he's back at it, and he is ready to rock and roll for week 4. We're actually coming to you on location from Charlotte, North Carolina, as Brendan and I will be attending the Panthers-Vikings game at Bank of America Stadium. But without further ado, let's start off with our first international game from London, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where the 1-2 Jaguars will play the role of host to the 2-1 Falcons. Jaguars have not looked so good so far this season, Bren.
No, they haven't. They beat the Colts week 1. I expected that to happen. They lost to the Chiefs in a very low-scoring game. The Chiefs' defense is probably the best in the Mahomes era, but they didn't even score a touchdown. And then I thought they would take care of business against the Texans, but no, they got blown out in their own stadium. And the Falcons are 2-1, but they've mainly been handing it off to Bijan Robinson and letting the defense do their job. Desmond Ridder has been pretty much a game manager so far. When he had to pass against the Lions, it didn't work out well at all. He got sacked like 7 times. And yeah, both of these teams probably could end up winning their divisions if it all goes well. But the Jaguars are going to be without Zay Jones, one of their top wide receivers. And yeah, it just looks like a toss-up to me, but I can't envision the Jaguars going 1-3. So I'll take the Jaguars here. They're always in London, and they win a lot there, so I'm going to take them.
Okay, let's move on to what could be the game of the week. Definitely at least the 1 o'clock slate. The 2-1 Bills at home welcoming in the 3-0 Dolphins, who are fresh off dropping a 70 burger on the Broncos.
Yeah, I had a feeling I was picking the Dolphins to win. It felt like a roll of the dice to me because Jaylen Waddle didn't look like he was going to play. He ended up not playing, but even still, they scored 70 points, and that is crazy. I've never seen anything like that since watching football, and I don't know if we're going to see anything close to that again. The Bills are 2-1. They dropped the kickoff game to the Jets. That was a frustrating one for the Bills, for sure. But then they responded with blowout wins over the Raiders and Commanders. But this will be by far their toughest test yet. Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle are the best one of the best wide receiver duos in the league. Raheem Mostert has been a good running back for a couple of years now, but third-round pick Devon Achane had his breakout game. He had over 200 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns, and yeah, the defense has been pretty solid as well. And the Buffalo is a very tough place to come in and play. The Dolphins are going to be without linebacker Jalen Phillips, and the Bills are going to be without Jordan Poyer, but they still have Micah Hyde, Taylor Rapp, and Damar Hamlin, who is scheduled to make his first appearance for the season in this game. It's going to be a very important game, but I remember these two teams met 3 times last year. The Dolphins won week 3 in Miami. Then the Bills won a close one in Buffalo, and then they met again in the wild card round. And the Bills just barely beat the Dolphins at home, even though rookie 7th round pick Skylar Thompson was starting that game. So Tua's here. He's healthy. The wide receivers are healthy. The defense looks like a little bit of a question mark, but I think this could be a shootout between these two teams, and I'm going to take the Dolphins here.
Okay, let's go to the game that we are actually going to be at with the 0-3 Panthers welcoming in the 0-3 Vikings. Is this the end of the Kirk Cousins era?
I certainly think so. I mean, the defense hasn't been that great either, but it was a very winnable game at the end against the Chargers. He there was like 30 seconds left. They took like 10 seconds off the clock by not spiking it. And then he just threw an interception. They should have taken like a timeout. I know they didn't have any, but they needed to clock it and talk things over on the side. He needed to talk things over on the sideline with Kevin O'Connell, but they didn't. He threw an interception in the end zone, and it was just a crushing loss. That's how most of them have been. And 0-3, both of these teams are 0-3. It might be too late for both of these teams. The Panthers are in a rebuild. Bryce Young didn't play last week because he had an injury, but he's going to be back this week. Still, he hasn't looked that great because of the lackluster wide receiver core, as well as a banged up offensive line. The defense is also really banged up as well. They lost Shaq Thompson for the year, and cornerback J.C. Horn is going to be out for a while. I picked the Vikings week one and they lost, and I picked them in week three and they lost. This team is really untrustworthy, but I just refused. I'm really hoping that they don't lose to a rookie quarterback who hasn't looked all that great. I'm going to pick the Vikings, and I'll be pretty mad if they lose this one. It'll truly be over if they're 0-4.
Okay, let's head on out to Soldier Field. I saw a meme about this game that said they should flex this game to 3 a.m. The 0-3 Bears welcoming in the 0-3 Broncos. Broncos coming off a 70 burger are still favored against the Bears at home. Bears are just a mess.
Yeah, they really are. Justin Fields called out the coaching staff and blamed them for his performance, and then said he was going to do things his own way or something, and it did not work out well at all. I think he passed for under 100 yards. Offense is terrible. Defense is terrible. Coaching isn't that great. And yeah, it's a disaster, and they're going to be without multiple players in the secondary. Defensive backs Jalen Johnson and Eddie Jackson have been ruled out. The main issue for the Broncos this year has been their defense. They were great on defense last year, but it seems like Ejiro Evero leaving for the Panthers has really affected this team. They only gave up 17 points in the loss to the Raiders, which wasn't all that bad. They lost by 1 point there. Then they blew a 21-3 lead to the Commanders. That was bad. And then, yeah, 70. But so I'm sure this defense is going to be motivated to shut down the Bears. I think that should happen. Russell Wilson has played much better than he has all of last season, and against an injured Bears secondary and a poor Bears defense overall, I think the Broncos should win this one.
I agree. Let's head out to Cleveland. Big game here. 2-1 Browns welcoming in the 2-1 Ravens. Browns defense looks super legit, and the offense may be ticking up at the right time.
Maybe. Deshaun Watson has made at least one baffling play in every game, but he probably had his best game as a member of the Browns last week. Had over 200 yards passing, a touchdown, was mostly accurate. He's listed as questionable with a shoulder injury, but I'm sure it would be a much bigger deal if he were to miss time. And the Ravens had a bit of a surprising loss at home to the Colts. They were without a lot of players, and the game went to overtime, but they still couldn't finish it. It's only week four, but the Ravens are basically going to be playing practice squad players or like reserve role players, because they're going to be without their two starting outside linebackers, Odafe Owe and David Ojabo. Left tackle Ronnie Stanley is listed as doubtful, which means he won't play. Cornerback Marlon Humphrey still hasn't played at all this season. He's been ruled out. And if the defense being all injured wasn't bad enough, they're going to be without injured wide receivers Rashad Bateman and Odell Beckham Jr., and neither of them have been able to stay healthy, really. So yeah, that's going to be bad news for Lamar Jackson. All he has is Zay Flowers, Nelson Agholor, and some other guys. And at home, the Browns defense hasn't allowed a touchdown. The Bengals and Titans only scored a field goal there. And the Steelers won against the Browns week two, but they only scored one offensive touchdown, and they needed two defensive touchdowns to win the game. So yeah, the Browns have only allowed one touchdown through three games because of how injured the wide receiver core is, and they'll be without left tackle Ronnie Stanley, that the Browns could only give up three again, maybe. Lamar Jackson is pretty explosive, and he still has Mark Andrews and stuff, but I think it is going to be difficult for the Ravens to score points, and I'll take the Browns at home.
Houston, we don't have a problem. Texans coming off a big win at 1-2, welcoming in the 2-1 Steelers, who have not looked great on the offensive side of the ball thus far. What do you see here?
Yeah, I agree. The Steelers remind me of the Falcons a little bit, except the Steelers don't have a run game, really. The Steelers just have a really good defense, and they're relying on Kenny Pickett to make plays when it matters, throwing the ball on offense when it counts, and that's worked so far, and they're 2-1. But yeah, the run game has been non-existent for a couple of years now, and it hasn't been great this year, and the overall offense hasn't been that great. For the Texans, the first two games were rough, but it all came together against the Jaguars, a team that they have pretty much had their way with recently. But the Texans' offensive line is pretty injured. I think they will have Laramie Tunsil back, but they're still without tons of other starters on that offensive line for right now. And that's going to be a problem against T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith. And I think Stroud has looked pretty good through 3 weeks. Yeah, I think he has over 900 passing yards and no interceptions, but I think he's going to struggle this week against the Steelers, and I think the Steelers will win one on the road here.
Okay, let's head to, I almost said Baltimore, Indianapolis, where the 2-1 Colts will welcome in the 1-2 Rams. Stafford got banged around a lot in the last game.
Yeah, six sacks he took again on Monday against the Bengals. It was not a great offensive line performance. The Colts are 2-1. They won last week with Gardner Minshew at quarterback, and now Anthony Richardson has cleared the concussion protocol, and he will return this week, which is great for the Colts because he needs to play, and he was looking pretty solid in the first two games before being hurt with a concussion. The Rams had that surprising week one win against the Seahawks. They blew them out there. Then they lost a close one against the 49ers, and then lost to the Bengals in a defensive game. They've been a lot more competitive than I thought they would be. And the Colts are going to be without two of their starting offensive linemen, and I think they're going to be able to take, I think the Rams will be able to take advantage of Richardson being a rookie. Minshew would probably give me a lot more confidence here in the Colts, but even Richardson has looked good though, but still I'm going to take the Rams here.
Okay, let's head down to New Orleans, where the 2-1 Saints will welcome in the 2-1 Buccaneers. Saints are going to have a tough time, I think, if Derek Carr misses a lot of time.
Yeah, Derek Carr led the Saints to a 2-0 record so far. He led them to a 2-0 record through 2 weeks, but then they were up 17-0 against the Packers, and all seemed well. But then he injured his shoulder. Jameis Winston had to finish the game. Then the offense proceeded to do nothing, and the defense just collapsed in the fourth quarter, and that's why they're 2-1 instead of 3-0. The Saints will get Alvin Kamara back from suspension, which is really good for them. The Buccaneers started off 2-0 as well, but they lost to the Eagles at home. Baker Mayfield didn't play so great, and the offensive line gave up a lot of pressures and probably a couple of sacks as well. The Eagles' defensive line is no joke. The Buccaneers really have a hard time with the Saints. Even when they had Tom Brady, they lost four consecutive regular season games in a row, even though they did beat them in the NFC divisional round in 2020. Last year, they proceeded to sweep the Saints, but it was not easy at all. The Saints didn't have a really good offense with Derek Carr, so I'm unsure of what it's going to be like with Jameis Winston, who will be going up against his former team. This is a really important one. The winner will be in first place in the NFC South, I believe, I guess it comes down to which quarterback I trust more, Baker Mayfield and Jameis Winston. They're both former number one overall picks. It didn't really work out with either the teams that drafted them first overall. But I'm going to go Buccaneers here.
I think I agree with you there. Let's head up to Philly, where the 3-0 Eagles will be welcoming in the 2-1 Commanders.
The Eagles are 3-0, just as they were last year. They're looking like they did last year, a team that with a really good offensive line, a good running game. Jalen Hurts has looked pretty solid as well. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are a great duo, and the defensive line is just as good as last year, if not better, thanks to the additions of Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith from Georgia. The Commanders have a pretty decent defensive line themselves, but didn't show up at all against the Bills. They lost 37-3. The offensive line allowed 9 sacks, and Sam Howell threw 4 interceptions, I believe, in a 37-3 loss. It was just terrible from start to finish, but it's important to remember that Howell only like his 5th career game, and games like this are gonna games like that will happen sometimes, and the Eagles defensive line is just as good as the Bills defensive line, if not better. The Commanders did go into Philadelphia and hand the Eagles their first loss last year when they were 8-0, so anything is possible, especially in a divisional rivalry game, but I'm gonna play it safe and take the Eagles here.
Okay, let's head to Tennessee, where the 1-2 Titans will welcome in the 1-2 Bengals. Seems like this is a chance for the Bengals to make their move because the Titans have not been impressive thus far.
Yeah, their defense has been fine, the Titans. They only lost by 1 point in week one. Then they won a thriller against the Chargers, and then they got blown out by the Browns on the road. Ryan Tannehill has been very up and down. This is almost certainly his last year in Tennessee because the past two drafts in a row, they've spent a pick on a quarterback. They picked Malik Willis in the 3rd round last year, and then they traded up to select Will Levis in the 2nd round this year. The Titans are going to be without Treylon Burks, their top wide receiver, and offensive lineman Peter Skoronski. The Bengals were able to get their first win against the Rams last week. Joe Burrow did not look like 100%, and the Bengals really need to be careful about managing Burrow's health, because if he re-aggravates it again and he misses several weeks, they could be done for in the loaded AFC. But even if he isn't 100% here, I think they'll be fine. Burrow is undefeated against the Titans, and I think that will continue here, so I will take the Bengals.
When we last saw Brandon Staley, he made probably the worst decision I've ever seen a coach make in an NFL game by going for it on 4th down as his own 25 or something against the Vikings. And fortunately for him, Kirk Cousins spit the bit on that one, and they walked out of there with a victory that they did not deserve. At 1-2, they'll be welcoming in the 1-2 Raiders. Raiders have a quarterback problem in that Jimmy G is still in the concussion protocol. So how do you see this one breaking down?
So I'm going to operate under the assumption that he's not going to play. That would mean Brian Hoyer or Aiden O'Connell would have to start. O'Connell is a 4th round pick out of Purdue, I believe. He impressed in preseason, but preseason is much different than the regular season. Yeah, the Chargers won a thriller against the Vikings. A lot of things went their way. The Vikings should have had an interception near the end of the game, but it went off of a cornerback's hands and into the hands of Josh Palmer for a touchdown. And yeah, the fourth down attempt at the end of the game was truly awful decision making. They should have just punted it away, but thankfully, because of Kirk Cousins' interception, the Chargers ended up winning that game. But yeah, Brandon Staley is not the greatest coach, but Josh McDaniels is an even worse one. They were down 15-23 to the Steelers. They were at like the 10-yard line or something, and it was 4th down. And instead of going for it to maybe try and tie the game and score a 2-point conversion, they just kicked a field goal and they were hoping that the defense would give them another possession, and that never happened. I supported the field goal decision at first, but then I changed my mind. It was really bad decision making there, and probably even worse than what Staley did, honestly. The Chargers look like they're going to be a little injured in this game. No Austin Ekeler or Derwin James. I don't know what's going to happen with J.C. Jackson. He was a healthy inactive last week, and he admitted openly that he was confused about it. So am I. Even if Garoppolo plays, he hasn't been that great. They won week one against the Broncos, but then they had a blowout loss against the Bills, and he threw three interceptions in that loss against the Steelers. So no matter who is at quarterback for the Raiders, I'm going to take the Chargers here. I'll take Brandon Staley over Josh McDaniels in this coaching clown off.
Okay, let's go to Big D, where America's team, coming fresh off a loss to the Cardinals, at 2-1, will be welcoming in the 1-2 Patriots.
Yeah, the Cowboys started off 2-0 with blowout wins over the Giants and Jets. Everyone was hyping them up as a Super Bowl contender. I didn't believe it because those two teams aren't good. But I thought they would be able to handle the Cardinals easily since they handled the Giants and Jets so easily. Even though they lost Trayvon Diggs for the year, I thought to myself, it's the Cardinals, so they should be just fine. But no, they lost that game somehow. And I know every team has an oops game. I know the Chiefs lost to the Colts last year and then ended up winning a Super Bowl, but come on, you can't lose to a team like that. And that tells me that they're not on the same level as the Eagles and 49ers who played in the NFC Championship game last year, and the loss of Trayvon Diggs could be much bigger than we thought. Luckily for them, the Patriots are not great on offense. They started off 0-2. They were down big in both games, tried making comebacks, and then fell short both times. And they got their first win of the season against the Jets, a team that they have dominated. They got lucky Aaron Rodgers went down because Rodgers would probably have beaten them, but they got to play against Zach Wilson, and they were able to get their first win of the year. The Patriots might have some familiarity with what Dallas is doing because Will Greer is the Patriots' backup quarterback. He spent most of training camp with them and played in their preseason games. And the Patriots also signed Ezekiel Elliott. But even still, I think Dallas is the superior team, and so I think the Cowboys will handle business at home.
I see the next two games on the schedule, and I noticed that you haven't made a lock of the week pick yet. I think that either one of these next two could be it. We haven't talked about it before this, but we'll go to San Francisco, where the 3-0 Niners, looking every bit the part of NFC favorite, welcoming in the 1-2 Cardinals, who have been playing decently.
Yeah, I've been surprised with the Cardinals. They lost to the Commanders week one, that's what I thought. Then they had that 20-0 lead against the Giants, and I thought for sure they would win it. But no, they ended up choking it and blew the lead. That was brutal. But then I thought for sure they would go down to 0-3. But they ended up beating the Cowboys, which was very impressive because no one thought they had a chance of doing that. This team has been very competitive under Jonathan Gannon. Kyler Murray should come back soon, which will be great for the Cardinals, even though Josh Dobbs has been playing pretty well. And yeah, the 49ers are 3-0. They have a very talented roster. Brock Purdy has picked up from where he left off last year. And they've had a long time to rest and prepare for this game since they last played on Thursday. The 49ers swept the Cardinals last year, I believe. Yes, they did. And I believe that they, unlike the Cowboys, the 49ers should be able to handle this game.
Okay, let's head to MetLife, where the 1-2 Jets will be welcoming in the 2-1 Chiefs.
This is my lock of the week. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are always a sure thing. Andy Reid is a future Hall of Famer head coach. They beat the Bears easily. Most teams will do that. and they're going to be there at the very end, I'm sure of it. The Jets, we know by now, they had Super Bowl expectations, and then Rodgers went down, and now they're the same old Jets. Zach Wilson is a bust. The team did sign Trevor Siemian, who won't be the starter for this game, but maybe soon if things continue to stay the way they are. The schedule makers probably thought this would be an epic one, Mahomes going up against Aaron Rodgers for the first time, but no, we will not get that, and it really freaking pisses me off. And so I thought this was going to be a great game at first, but now I think it'll be a very forgettable game and probably a blowout. Even though the Jets have a good defense, I just think continuing to start Zach Wilson every day will make Robert Saleh lose the locker room. And I like the Chiefs to win this one.
All right, let's wrap it up right back at MetLife Stadium, hosting back-to-back night games, where the 1-2 Giants will be welcoming in the 2-1 Seahawks.
The Giants are favored to win this game somehow, but I don't know why. They've looked really bad. I'm starting to wonder if last year was just a fluke. The Seahawks start off 0-1, but then won two games in a row, including winning at Detroit, which is the Lions' only loss of the year so far. Geno Smith continued where he left off. People forgot pretty much all about him until last year when he led the Seahawks to a wild card appearance. And with the talent on their roster and their upcoming schedule, I think the Seahawks should end up returning to the playoffs. The Seahawks are undefeated at this stadium, I learned a few days ago. And yesterday, I think. Yesterday or the day before that. So, yeah, with that in mind, I like the Seahawks to win this one.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's the straight dope, as we say in the business. Don't forget to follow Brennan on Twitter. X, at PhD in NFL. And head on over to QBList.com to read the various articles that Brennan contributes to. Thanks again. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, etc. And we'll see you next time.